show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Glad to have you with us here on the Guy James Show today in, a somewhat cloudy Southwest Florida today. Normally we tell you we're from the blue waters and sandy beaches, and that's still true. The water's blue, the beaches are sandy, but it's a little cloudy outside today. Starting to get into that season where we might have a little shower in the afternoon once in a while. Hey, I hope it's a great day where you are. We're awfully glad to be back with you here on the Guy James Show today. Do want to let you know that Bill Press, nationally syndicated radio host and all-around great guy, one of the really best people that you'll meet in Washington, D.C., really. Bill Press is going to be with us in just a few minutes, actually. Coming up around 3:15 or so, we'll have Bill on the show. And want to talk about burnout. Will the public get burned out on this exceptionally long, long election season that we're about to have? We're involved in it already, and it's too long for me. I don't know about you. I mean, I have a great interest in politics, but it's getting to be a little long for me right now. Welcome to the show today. I want to say hello to all the folks over at iTunes. Thank you for being along with us today. I want to say a very special thanks to the Miller sisters from Iowa. I always enjoy hearing from them and appreciate very much their support of the program. They've been steadfast supporters of this program almost since its inception, nearly 5 years ago. So I do want to thank them very, very much for that as well. Where are we at here? Things we want to talk. Hey, I do want to let you know right off the bat today, before we start the program, we're going to institute some new rules for phone calls on the show. And I ask that if you call the show, that you limit your comments to the subject at hand. I can't screen calls, nor do I want to. So please keep your calls confined to what we're talking about. I've been doing a radio for many, many years, and frankly, nothing's more difficult for a host than to be immersed in a subject that you've spent a lot of time researching and so forth, and then someone calls in and wants to take the conversation in a whole new direction. So, actually, that's how the shows with the big budgets stay on point for a whole planned segment. The producer really tightly controls those programs. He controls the calls. They screen them to see who will add the most to the conversation and line them up in that order to keep the flow going in whatever direction the host wants it to go. So please keep that in mind when you call. I'll be very grateful to you if you'll do that. Our number here is 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. I want to say hello to all the folks over at the Hit On Radio Network chat room and all of our local listeners here as well, and our folks from literally around the world that we hear from time to time. It's awfully good to know that people in other countries are interested. Well, they better be. I guess the way things are, the geopolitical climate being what it is nowadays, I guess the whole world ought to be interested in what goes on politically in the United States. it seems there are very few places in the world that are not affected by American politics in one way or another, either financially or, you know, what they think of us nowadays. So many of the countries are just not very happy with our government. And many of them, I'm starting to hear, are not very happy with us, the people. We've always heard that for so many years, that, oh, we don't like your government, but we love the American people. Well, that tide is starting to turn as well, because there are many people in the world who are saying, hey, how could you have elected this administration? The American people must not be nearly as smart as we gave them credit for. Well, we can understand, and we'll even accept the fact that maybe Mr. Bush kind of, you might say, stole that first election. But the second time you elected him, and we, the people from other places around the world, have lost a little bit of faith in the American people for doing so. So do keep that in mind, all of my USA American friends. We're not thought of as highly as we once were. Definitely not. When we get Bill on the program, we're going to talk about our great candidates that we have. And I am very happy with the candidates that we have running for president this year. We've got some outstanding people. And if you can't find somebody in the group that we've got running, why, going to be a long haul for you. Because I think there are several who will make fine presidents, one of which will, and one will probably be vice president. I don't think we'll come up with any unknown in there as vice president. But we'll talk with Bill about that a little later. Where are we at here? A few things that are going on right now, even as we speak. This new oil law that's going to go into effect in Iraq, they're about to vote on it. You'll all remember that we had Antonio Yuhats on the program, an expert about the Middle Eastern oil. Seems that law is just about in the bag. Seems like the Western oil companies will be taking charge of Iraqi oil, which, as we all know, was the idea in the very first place for going in there. And I saw an estimate of what Western oil interest might pump out of there in the next 30 years, taking three-quarters of the profits, by the way, due to these PSA contracts, which are so unusual, virtually unknown in the Middle East, but we're going to have one with Iraq. $14 trillion. $14 trillion worth of oil, they think, would be pumped out of there in the next few years under these production-sharing agreements, which definitely don't seem to be in the best interest of the Iraqi people, but are, wouldn't you know, the very best thing for the American and Western oil companies. They're gonna make out like the proverbial fat rats. 866-546-5254, if you'd like to give us the call. That parliament, to go on with that story, the Iraqi parliament is looking at that new oil law right now. It's virtually a sure thing that it is going to get passed. And it suggests, like every other step of installing an Iraqi government, they anticipate that some of the hostilities will probably escalate around this particular event. The Kurds and the Shias are most likely going to be happy with it. The Sunnis are not. There's going to be some Iraqi advisors on the Federal Oil Council in Iraq. Most of them are American puppets. So I think once the word gets around, and it is getting around, take note of that, in Iraq, it's not going to make for a happy situation there. Not a happy situation at all. I assume you all did hear about the, I don't want to say that it absolutely was an attempt on the life of the vice president, but it seems like a pretty big coincidence. There was a big bomb went off. They tried to bomb the area where the vice president was. He was questioned about it. He said, the question from the press was, do you think the symbolism is there for whoever carried this out? They said publicly that this was aimed at you. What does that? And the vice president said, who said that? Questioner comes back and said, the Taliban. And the vice president said, I hadn't heard that. And the questioner once again said it was a Taliban spokesman quoted saying the attack was trying to get you. What we're quoting them as saying is that they took responsibility for it, And they said they were aware that you were there. And the vice president said, I hadn't heard that. So, gee whiz, going after a nice guy like Mr. Dick Cheney like that. How could they? How could they go after our vice president? But he's over there on another one of his very successful trips, as you can see, trying to, well, trying to collar President Musharraf of Pakistan, as if he could do anything. His country is out of control. We've got all the border areas with Afghanistan, the tribal areas, completely out of control. He seems to have no effect on them whatsoever. As I mentioned, they are very tribal. They think that Al-Qaeda probably has headquarters set up all over the place, that they figure bin Laden is probably there. They also think that Musharraf is kind of looking the other way, which he probably is. So Musharraf's trying to have it both ways. He actually is having it both ways, and I don't know what the American government can do about it. They may have threatened to cut off some financial support to him, which is the only reason he's cooperated with us in the first place. That's the only reason anybody cooperates with the United States these days. It's like the old story of having to tie a pork chop around your neck to get the dog to play with you, and that's pretty much pretty much the way it is with the good old U.S. of A. nowadays. What we're going to do right now, we're going to get a hold of our guest. We're going to pause for a quick break, and we'll be right back. We'll hear from the president first.
And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. There is a healthcare crisis in our country, and I have proposed a bold new plan to address the situation. I believe all Americans ought to be given the same quality of care that we give our veterans at the Walter Reed Army Hospital here in Washington. Sadly, many who pass through the healthcare system in our country are not surrounded by mice or their droppings like our fighting men and women in Walter Reed. And that's wrong. Not enough of the hospital walls in our nation are presently rotting or covered in mold and mildew like at Walter Reed. We need to change that. I pledge no fewer than 1 mouse per every bed and 4 cockroaches to every patient. By the year 2020, I pledge to raise the fungus and spore count in our nation's hospitals threefold. And most importantly, we gotta reduce the number and quality of doctors and nurses, leaving patients, some with severe psychological problems, uncared for, sitting alone in their filthy beds, their heads in their hands. This is my forward-thinking vision for the healthcare in this country. Won't you join me in support of these common sense reforms? Thank you for listening, and God bless you.
Voices on the radio tell us that we're going to war. Those brave men and women in uniform, they wanna know what they're fighting for. The generals wanna hear the end game. The allies wanna prove the plan. But the oil men in the White House, they just don't give a damn, 'cause it's all about the price of oil. It's all about the price of oil. Don't give me no shit about blood, sweat, tears, and toil. It's all about the price of oil. Sought this out last time. Was he less evil then than he is now? The stock market holds
the answer to why him, why here, why now. 'Cause it's all about the price of oil. It's all about the price of oil. Don't give me no shit about blood, sweat, tears, and toil. It's all about the price of oil.
Hey, we're back with you, and as promised, and as I mentioned, I'll make him blush, because he blushes easily, I think. I think I just cut off our guest. Let me...
I pledge obedience
to... Oh, my. Well, I'm having one of those days. Hang on just one second. We'll get our guest back on the phone here. Let's see. How does this go? I'm embarrassed that I did that. Hey, there we go. We're back. And this time I actually do have Bill on the phone, and we're live.
I thought you hung up on me. I didn't even say anything.
You know what, Bill? I did. Have you ever embarrassed yourself in the studio and done a thing like that?
Too many times.
Oh,
hello,
man.
Hello, guy. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, and awfully glad to have you with us. As I was starting to mention before I pushed the wrong button.
You were going to embarrass me, you said. I heard
that. I was going to embarrass you, and I said some terrible... No, I really didn't. I didn't embarrass you yet. I was telling folks that Bill is, and many of them know this, and they've explained these sentiments back to me, that Bill's known as one of the good guys around Washington, D.C., one of the people that is in on the Washington crowd, and yet, I don't know, seems a little bit different to me. But you've been there a long time, haven't you, Bill?
Well, you know, I've been here, believe it or not, 10 years now, I came here from California to do Crossfire, and did that for 6 years at CNN, then went over to MSNBC for a couple of years with Pat Buchanan. I never thought I'd be here as long as I have been, and I try to, even though we live inside the Beltway, I try not to be an inside the Beltway kind of guy, because I think people inside the Beltway don't live in the real world.
Well, I would say that about you. I really would. You actually live up around Capitol Hill someplace, right?
I actually live right on Capitol Hill. In fact, I just walked from the Capitol home after meeting with Arnold Schwarzenegger and a few other California reporters about an hour ago.
Oh, yeah. I think the last time I talked to you, we were at that reception over at the DNC, and you obviously don't live very far from there either then.
No, just about six blocks.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And Bill, I don't think a lot of people are aware, you have a political background in California, do you not?
Well, actually, about 30 years of it.
I've talked to a lot of people that don't know that about you.
Well, I got started in politics actually in the Eugene. I'm not going to give you the quick answer.
Yeah,
I started actually in the Gene McCarthy for president campaign way back in 1968. That was my first taste of politics. I was right out of college, and then I got involved in running campaigns in San Francisco, and ended up going to Sacramento, working in the state legislature as a chief of staff to a state senator up there. I ended up being Jerry Brown's policy director when he was governor of California. Did that for 4 years. And then I ran for office statewide in California. I ran for the office of California Insurance Commissioner, which was sort of like a consumer affairs kind of department. That's what I wanted to make it at any rate. Obviously didn't make it. I wouldn't be doing radio and TV today. And finally, for 3 years, when Bill Clinton was in the White House, I was Democratic state chair of California, chair of the California Democratic Party. And I quit that position when I got the job at Crossfire to come back to Washington.
Well, see, folks, that's why the Democrats have that iron-fisted control of California. It's because Bill was in there.
Yeah, except for Schwarzenegger, by the way, who has become a Democrat.
He certainly has.
Everything but name.
Well, Bill, that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today. We've discussed this, and a lot of people are discussing it now, the pundits and so forth. We're in for a long, long haul in this election season we're about to go through. Season, my God, I don't know what to call it. it's going to be the longest ever. And the question I have is, do you think the public will hang on for this ride, or will we be able to keep it interesting enough for them?
You know what? I don't know how we can sustain this. I don't know how the candidates can sustain the pace and keep the public interest up and keep it fresh, you know, and keep alive. And I don't know how the public – I'm already tired of it.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know how the public – can sustain it for this long. I mean, I wrote a column about this a couple of weeks ago when I said, okay, now we know. Now you're in. Welcome to the race. Now go home and shut up. Go home and shut up until
Please.
Next December or January. And I wasn't just talking about, you know, talking about anyone in particular. I have that feeling about all of them. It started much, much, much too early. I really do think that we deserved a break in between elections. And I remember, whether it was Fox or CNN, I was on one of the talk shows 2 days after the midterm elections when I still wanted to celebrate the Democrats winning control of the House and Senate. And instead, right away, people were asking me about 2008. I said,
no,
slow down. Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah, slow down.
And it also proves, like, look, Guy, we also saw Tom Vilsack, right, just had to drop out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's too bad. Bill Stack's a really, really great guy. And there was a time, remember Jimmy Carter, remember
sure.
Bill Clinton, when a governor of a smaller state could move around the country, get known, and maybe make an impact and become a serious candidate. You can't do it today. The process today is all about name recognition and money. And if you don't have $20, $30, $40 million walking into it or the capacity to raise it, you don't have a chance. And that's we all suffer because of that, I think.
And I think the public, you know, I'm one of those people, the old-fashioned people. I get really upset here in the last couple of years when I go to the local hardware store and see them have their Christmas trees and Christmas lights out for sale
exactly.
in September. And we're running into the same thing with this now. We need – hey, it's not like there isn't enough going on in the world besides this right now for news.
No, exactly. You know, there's a lot of – you know, come back to Washington, deal with the war in Iraq – you know, deal with healthcare. This is the time that they're supposed to be dealing with those issues and not out there running for election. We are today where we normally are a year from now in the presidential contest.
Exactly. And
we're
talking about hundreds of millions of dollars this time. We're even I don't know if it's just hype or what, but I've heard the figure tossed around that for Hillary in the general and the primary, we could be looking at almost $500 million. That seems inconceivable to me.
Well, they're calling this the first $1 billion presidential contest.
Mm.
Now, you know, that's not something to celebrate, in my judgment.
No, certainly not. And just like you said about Vilsack, what a shame. There are some great candidates out there that will not be able to raise that kind of money. Speaking of candidates, we do have some really good ones. Hillary and Richardson and Edwards and Obama, any of those folks, high profile, obviously very talented people politically. Several of them, a couple of them in my mind, would make great presidents. And I think the Democrats are loaded for bear this time as far as getting a good candidate out.
You know, I said somewhat tongue-in-cheek the other day on my show that this is the greatest collection of political talent I've seen since I ran for office back in 1990. it's an incredible lineup. You could take any one of them. Hands down, they'd be a better president than George W. Bush. I mean, there's some great talent there. Obviously, the top tier with John Edwards, I think, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. But the second tier, you're right. You know, Chris Dodd. You know, Joe Biden, Bill Richardson. I don't mean to overlook anybody.
Yeah, who's had better qualifications than a Bill Richardson, for example? I mean,
yeah.
Huge qualifications for the presidency.
No, exactly. So, I mean, I celebrate the roster we've got. And by the way, God forbid, you know, my getting partisan, but I think if you look at the other side, it's a pretty weak bench. You know, Sam Brownback? Hello.
What are they going to do?
Mitt Romney, even Rudy Giuliani. I mean, I can't wait for, you know, Rudy to be their candidate.
yeah.
There's so much, but, you know, pre-9/11 Rudy Giuliani was not pretty.
And
I dressed up in drag.
I think you're right, and I think the Republicans are probably rethinking this deal of coming up with the word flip-flopper in the last election when it pertains to John McCain.
John McCain and Mitt Romney.
Oh, yeah.
They're calling him multiple choice Mitt. No, they make John Kerry look like the most stable candidate we've ever seen. I said the other day, I think Mitt Romney's going to borrow John Kerry's surfboard, you know.
Oh, and the Fundies, the Falwells and the Robertsons and so forth, and the James Dobsons, their heads have to be spinning right now.
They don't know. They don't know where to go. Yeah.
I don't know what they will do. I can't possibly see how maybe they'll have to head for a Brownback, or God forbid, maybe Newt Gingrich will jump in there. Of course, those boys would have a tough time with his background as well.
Well, you know, he is exactly, but Gingrich is holding back until September. And when he first said it, I thought, God, that's kind of a crazy approach. But now he doesn't look so dumb because he's saying, I'm going to wait until September and see who's left standing, and then I'll decide whether or not to get in.
Well, if he gets elected president, I'm getting a new passport.
Exactly.
I'll join you. I don't think I could handle that.
Canada, here I come.
Yeah. I was thinking Costa Rica. Anyway, Al Gore, big question mark. Or is it, in your mind, any question mark at all? Do you think Al has any designs on this?
I think he'd love to be president. I don't think he wants to, and I haven't talked to him about this, but I don't think he wants to go through it again. And, you know, I must say, as a big fan of Al Gore's, I just personally now, right, I hope he does it, because I think he's doing such great things today. And in many ways, he's able to do them because he's just outside the political process. The leadership on global warming, the leadership on the war has just been tremendous. I think he'd make a great president. But I'd rather see him just continue doing what he's doing and serving the country. You know, there are other ways than serving the country than politics. And I'm afraid, I think the media is trying to lure him in, you know, and if they do it, they'll just tear him up the way they did before. And I would hate to see him go through that again.
I would too. I would love to, I agree with you. I'd love to see the man be the president, but I'm not sure I'd be willing to watch him go through that again. And right now, if you take a look at his life, why should he? You know, he's doing great things, like you said.
Look, he got the Oscar, and he may get the Nobel Peace Prize. So you can't do better than that.
Their heads will explode if he gets the Nobel Prize.
It's interesting that both Bill Clinton and Al Gore really are on top of the world today.
Yeah,
you know,
it is,
and that's got to drive the. I know it does drives the conservatives crazy, but Bill Clinton is the most popular person on the planet. And Al Gore is probably number two or three.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're in good shape politically right now. I think we get our Congress, our new Democratic Congress, to do what we need them to do, and so forth. I think.
Well, that's a question. You know, we got to get them to tackle this war. I think they're really pussyfooting around the war.
I think
American people want out, and that the Democrats just have to really get some backbone and be really tough and just go for broke here, not take halfway measures. I think they. They just got to get us the hell out of there as fast as they can.
Are you hearing that on your show?
Absolutely.
You take callers. You're hearing it. Yeah. I'm hearing it every day.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, the American people are ready. They're ready.
I think, you were at that meeting on Capitol Hill there about a month ago on...
in the Senate. Yep.
Yeah. And all the talk hosts there were saying they're hearing that from their audience, right?
Absolutely. Washington Post ABC poll this morning shows that like something like 66, I think, percent of American people say, set a deadline and get out. Set a deadline, timeline, yeah. And get out. So, you know, the Republicans, let them flounder, but I think the Democrats ought to be united in one direction, and that direction is bring them home.
Absolutely. Bill, your website?
It's www.billpress.com, or actually, I've got two. That's my personal, billpress.com, and then there's billpressshow.com, and they're both linked together, so invite people to weigh in, find out where the show is heard, my show is heard, and they can join you in midday and join me in early in the morning.
Absolutely. Bill, thanks so much. I know you got to go. Thanks so much for being on the program. I really appreciate
it. Great to join you, Guy. You're doing great work, and it's fun to get together. We'll have to do it again soon.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen,
right.
Bill Press. Truly one of the good guys in Washington. There's no airs about Bill Press. There's no, you know, he doesn't walk around thinking, well, I'm Bill Press. I mean, he's famous, got a great show, well-known. Everybody in Washington knows Bill Press, and everybody that I know that knows Bill Press thinks exactly the same as I do, that he's just, as I would say, just one hell of a guy. And he's the kind of guy that when all these soirees are taking place that you sit down in the back room someplace and just start talking. He and Sherrod Brown and I got together at that thing, and everybody was up, you know, hobnobbing and all that. And we were sitting there talking some serious politics, the three of us back in the corner. So that's what kind of a guy Bill Press is, and very knowledgeable about Washington, D.C. And I don't think a lot of people know that Bill was Democratic Party chairman of California and has such a long political history out there. So great to have him on the show. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. Don't go away.
Crowd, the haves and the have-mores. Some people call you the elite. I call you my base.
Oh, it's true.
Call Guy James now. 1-866-546-5254.
And I hope you'll do that. 866-546-5254. If you happen to be in the Washington, D.C. area, you can call us there, 202-370-6153. And if you're out in Phoenix, you can call the Phoenix Bureau at 623-444-5254. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. Great to have our friend Bill Press with us. We briefly touched during our interview there about the frustration. And it's true that Bill and I were at a meeting about a month ago. A month ago yesterday, I think it was. Anyway, it was at the Capitol building, and we had quite a few of the senators drop in and out of the meeting. And there were about a dozen liberal, progressive broadcasters from around the country. I've mentioned that Randy Rhodes was there, and Ed Schultz was there, and Bill, and myself, of course, and trying to think of who else. Anyway, it was a pretty good group. And the senators were doing their very best to, I'll say, deflect, which is something they do very well, you know. That's one thing any good politician does. But they were doing their very best to deflect attention away from what we as a group were trying to say to them about our audience, wanting them to get the lead out, as my father used to say, of their behinds, and get to work on this war. And they tried their very best to deflect from that and saying, oh, you know, we're doing this, we're doing that, and we're doing this and doing that, and we're right with the American public, we're on the pulse. And one of them said specifically that I know what the American people think. And I finally raised my hand and said, no, what you have just said is not what the American people can say, are saying. I think I can speak for everybody in this room, all these broadcasters, and they all started nodding, that you are not in tune with the American people want. You are not taking the path that the American people want. You are not responding to what you were elected to do. You're not doing the job that we hired you to do in November. Even those of you that didn't run for election in November, you know why we elected all the freshman senators that we did and reelected the ones that we put back in office. Not a single Democratic senator lost their office. And you know why. And it wasn't because of health care. It wasn't because of this or that or the minimum wage or anything. Those are all important points to be made, to be sure. But the reason this Democratic Congress was hired by the American public was to do something definitive about this war and not lollygag around about it for another year or two. That is why we hired them. And make no mistake, they don't like to hear that word, we hired them, but they are our hired hands, and it is time that they understand that and accept that as a way of life in Washington, D.C. I don't know about you, but I'm finding the political climate in America to be more and more frustrating every single day. We had this long, hard campaign last year, and although I'm still convinced we didn't win, but rather the Republicans just lost, I was very hopeful that the Democrats would take advantage of the weaknesses of the Republicans and work very hard to live up to the confidence that we voters put in them. And from what I can see so far, that just is not happening. You know it. I know it. Oh, sure. There are a handful of Democrats making noise about doing this or that to stop the war, but there is no real cohesive force in the United States Senate behind it on the Democratic side. I'm beginning to fear that all we will get is that damn toothless non-binding resolution that was passed. The much ballyhooed non-binding resolution. Non-binding is the word. Already some Democrats are using that as a shield against the criticism coming from us. Yes, I support ending the war. I voted for the non-binding resolution. Oh, how brave. We've got Jack Murtha from the House trying to put a stop to the madness, but it's very apparent by now that he doesn't have near the support needed to do what he wants to do, which is a damn good plan in my opinion. There are a half dozen so-called Democratic plans to end the war, but once again, the Dems are showing their weakness by not being able to get behind any of them in force. We've got splinter groups all over the place, so nothing is getting done. Harry Reid is walking in circles around the United States Senate trying to figure out what he ought to do. Politics as usual. And you look in the minds of these politicians and you see what's going on inside there. How shall I vote so that I'll have the best political advantage? What issues should I stay away from? How can I keep my big donors happy while making it seem to the people like I'm working for them, when in fact, when I keep my big campaign contributors happy, I'm usually working against the people? Oh, what a tightrope to have to walk every single day, but some of them are very, very adept at walking that tightrope. So here we are, with approximately two-thirds of the American voters against the war, wanting out, yet nearly 2 months have gone by, and not a single meaningful action has been taken to stop it. And I'll venture to say that when a couple of more months have passed, we won't be much further along than we are right now. The Democrats are still afraid of the Republicans turning the tables on them and making the Democrats out to be, oh, you know, soft on defense, aiding Al-Qaeda, anti-American, all those slurs that they've thrown at us since we've been at war and when this war started. When anybody dare raise their hand and stand up and speak out against it, all of the slurs that were thrown at us and against anybody who was against this awful war. That is what the Democrats are afraid of again. They're afraid of getting hurt politically. Damn what happens politically. Do what is best for the people of the United States. That is the one and only consideration that should be even considered. The only thing they should be thinking about first and foremost, and of course I know I'm dreaming, but what is most beneficial for the people of the United States and our beloved country? That is the first thing that should come to mind, and unfortunately we know it is not. The first thing that comes to mind is staying in their gilded cages, staying in their gilded offices in Washington. That's first and foremost. I may not be speaking about every single one of them, but you know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm speaking about most of them. And as I have reiterated many times on this program, if you saw how they live, if you saw how they're treated in Washington and back amongst their constituencies around the country, you would full well realize why they do not want to leave those precious offices. But my God, there is a time that comes when you've got to forget about the politics of it. You've got to forget about winning the office back and do what is right. You've got to once in a while look down deep inside your conscience, deep into your heart, and understand that you may be making a vote that's going to make some people angry, but you're doing the right thing for America. You're doing the right thing for those troops that are stranded over there right now. I'll be frank, I'm finding it more and more difficult every single day to come on this program and defend our elected Democrats. It's easy. It's very easy to sit back and defend the ideals and the basic foundations of our party, of our Democratic Party. I think we out here in the hinterlands outside the Beltway, I think we know full well what we stand for and what we ought to be doing. We know what the real Democratic Party stands for. What we don't know is how the hell do we get the people we put in the office to do what we've hired them to do? They're being paid very well. Their perks are as good as perks can get. Most of them, many of them at least, are rich and powerful. What more could they ask? How hard should it be for them to do the people's bidding? I would think it wouldn't be all that difficult now and then, especially on an issue as important to this country as the Bush-Iraq War. And yet, We write. We email. We call. We visit their offices. Many times you can visit, a lot of times before you can even get a chance to see one. And what do you get treated like in many cases? Like you're the hired hand and they're not. It's like water off a duck's back. And the only way they'll listen to us is if they're convinced that we can defeat them at the polls. And the sad truth is, many of them are able to escape the wrath of the voters over and over and over again. Hell, look at Joe Lieberman. Is he really acting the way the people of Connecticut want him to in regard to this war? Is Joe Lieberman really and truly representing the will of the Connecticut people on this war? If Joe Lieberman polled all of the people in Connecticut, would they really be in favor of staying in this war? I don't think so. But he made it back into office. And as you can tell, you hear me talk about this, I am so frustrated about it right now. It's not going well. And the sad fact is, I don't have a lot of hope that it's going to get any better anytime soon. And the code word there is soon, because precious lives are being lost every single day. And yet somehow, the United States Senate is able to have one quorum call and meet in the cloakroom and sit in their offices and do what they do day in and let this thing drag on and on and on while they try and figure out what's the most expedient way for them to shovel it underneath the table so that they don't have to deal with it and hurt their political career somehow. It's really shameful. It really is. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Well, it's your California Dave guy. You're talking about my congressman, for one. And every Monday, we inundate all of his offices with some very articulate, concerned, caring constituents and pose the tough questions to him of why won't you sign on to one of the really good bills that's out there to get us the heck out of the war. And they tap dance, and so the thing that must be altogether obvious, and you're saying it too, it's not something that's going to be politically harmful to them. If they move rapidly to get us out of this war, they are going to win the hearts of most of their constituents. And
well, Dave, that's the point that's got me buffaloed. What do we know that they don't know? If we can understand that we think their constituency would be happy with it and actually give them a pat on the back, why don't they think that?
Well, I'll tell you what it is, I think, and I hate to believe it, but these big war profiteers, corporations, put big money into the pockets of members of Congress. That's, I'm afraid, what their loyalty is to. The honest politician is one who, when bought, stays bought. I think that was H.L. Mencken that said that. And so, in our case, I know that Lockheed Martin puts many, many thousands of dollars into the pocket of my congressman. And Lockheed Martin is making a fortune in this war. And are they that criminal that they're saying, we don't want to end all this brutality, all this killing, all this horror, because it's too profitable to us? That, I'm sure that's what's driving the Bush administration, the Clintons, and the corporations that put them in office.
Well, and here you have this deal where, yes, I agree with you. You've got the corporation putting big bucks into these campaigns so that the campaigns can go out and fool people into voting for them. They still have to have the votes. And obviously these big corporations are paying for ways to... let's put it how it is, fool the people and get their votes.
Well, some Congress members, certainly Kucinich and Lynn Woolsey and Maxine Waters and Sam Farr and Barbara Lee, these are good people. They are trying honestly to address this reality and get us out. And they got a lot of other good people co-signed on with them. And they're people that, you know, I think are just going to be overwhelmingly popular with their constituents. What ours does, and what he said, now Obama has co-authored in the Senate is a bill that sounds like he's trying to get us out of the war, but puts in it all kinds of provisions that would make it useless. And, you know, they could be there 275 years from now with the way this bill is written. And it's a non-binding one as well. Why doesn't some of the Congress members issue a binding resolution? Can they do that?
Well, you know, here we have, if they do that, it won't be called a binding resolution, but if they pass legislation to force Bush out of this, we've already had Condi Rice say that he'll ignore it. And then we would have a constitutional crisis. And you know what, Dave, and I know you agree with me, I think a constitutional crisis over this issue would be a very good thing for this country.
Something has to wake the people up. I mean, we are being ripped off, exploited, and abused in every way that this administration can do it, and people are looking the other way and whistling a happy tune like it isn't happening. And Congress, too, has been doing it. So, yes, a constitutional crisis that is right in their face would maybe they'd have to say, maybe we're going to have to do something about these people.
Well, and David, you just said a couple of words that that are so appropriate. You know, it's like it doesn't matter to the people. It doesn't affect them, and it doesn't. So many people don't have a, you know, they don't have a hand in this poker game. They don't have a kid in. They don't have a grandkid in. It's just so few people involved in the military. The Americans are just whistling down the street and going, oh well, it's not hurting my family. And I don't know how we.
The people carrying the cardboard signs whose job has been sent to Pakistan, they're feeling it, and they're multiplying, and that's what this administration is all about. They average the economy, and the billionaires are doing so well that it looks like if we take an average, everybody's doing pretty good in America, but no, the poor working people that have just lost their jobs or had their salaries cut down or lost their health benefits and can't afford to replace it, they know something isn't right. They know it. They're hurting. And
yeah.
Congress needs to do something about that. Again, I thank you so much for your thinking with me here on this.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for calling today.
Bye-bye.
And how good are things right now? You know, I don't want to completely change the subject here and go into a discourse on the economy in this country, but I read today where there's a lot of money being borrowed on Wall Street. It's we may be in a situation like we were in 1929. A lot of people are paying, going to the brokerage houses, and you only have to put 50% down in many cases on the stock, and the brokerage houses hold the rest. So there's a lot of money borrowed on the stock market, a tremendous amount. And just because that old stock market's been rolling along real well, not doing so good today, and I happen to think it's highly volatile, should a war break out, should there be some hostilities with Iran, who knows. But you shouldn't look at the evening news, and I know all my listeners know that. You shouldn't look at the evening news every night to see how the Dow Jones is doing. Equate that to how America is doing, because although that maybe was the way it used to be, it is not anymore. And it is not that way anymore because so many people out here in rural America and outside the Beltway, so many thousands, hundreds of thousands, dare I say millions, have lost their jobs. And right here where I live, I was discussing this with someone the other day. The real estate boom is over with. And I happen to know, like in Arizona, in the Phoenix area, that it's over with. And prices have dropped. And a year ago last August, when you could sell your house the same day you put it on the market, when literally people would come knocking on your door, and I'm not kidding, come knocking on your door and ask if you wanted to sell your house, they would buy it right then and there. And prices were up. And the greedy banks, the greedy lending companies were out there saying, sure, we'll give you an ARM here for only 1.5%, and guess what? We'll give you 125% of the value of that property, too. So we might be talking about a house that was $400,000. because the prices were so inflated. They borrowed 125% of it, so they owe $500,000 on a property, and get this ARM for 1.5%, 2.5%, 3.5%, which was unrealistic. You had to know that party was going to be over, and surely it was going to be over. Said so in black and white, but so many people just say, yeah, I'll buy that house. And so they go out and borrow $500,000 on a $400,000 house. They're making little tiny payments on it. And all of a sudden now, hey, it's time to pay the piper. That interest rate's up to 6.5%, 7% on that ARM, which has doubled the house payment for a lot of those people, or added hundreds of dollars onto it. And not only that, but the price of that house has fallen from $400,000 to about $275,000 or $300,000, and you owe $500,000 on it, and you can't sell it. And even if you can sell it, some of the people who could buy it can't get insurance on it. It's a mess. It's a mess. I am telling you, it is a mess. And so we've got banks. Some of the secondary lenders around this country who are in serious trouble went out and loaned out money to people who necessarily couldn't pay it back. And now that those ARMs are due, the payments are up to where they can't afford them. They're having to foreclose. People have lost their jobs. Now, it's not a good situation right now. I am not an economist. Let me make that perfectly clear. I am not an economist, but I have a good understanding of what's going on. And it's not a bright future right now, economically, for this country. All the good jobs are being shipped overseas. We've got millions of people working two jobs now. And, oh, yeah, all the righties are over there on the right-hand side. So what? Pull yourselves up by your bootstraps like we did when we made our fortunes, you know. Yeah, well, there are many millions of people in this country that are sitting around the house in the evenings now when they get home from their second job, going to bed worried every single night. What is tomorrow going to bring? How am I going to afford to live in this country anymore? It's very sad. I know many of you, my listeners, know people in that situation. I know people in that situation. A lot of people like to sit around and think it's not happening, but it is happening. It's happening all around us. And I don't think that boded the whole economic situation in this country, aside from Wall Street. That is not the indicator of how this country is doing right now. Not at all. Not even close. All the financial channels would like to tell you that it is. Hey, things are fine. Wall Street's doing good. It's bully for the market. Well, I'm here to tell you that that is not a barometer of how America goes. You know, it used to be that old saying, as General Motors goes, so goes America. I'm dating myself with that, aren't I? As General Motors goes, so goes America. Well, I'm inclined to believe that's true right now. General Motors is not doing so well. And neither is America. And it pains me to say that. It does. I don't say that with any glee in my voice at all. I say that with sorrow for my country and for the people that live in it. I was one of those that was raised in a great time in this country, the 50s, the 60s, early 70s. Great time. Things were booming. Things were good. Dad worked. In most cases, father would work, bring home the bacon, kids go to school, wife stay home, take care of the house, you know, all that old stuff. The white picket fence, Warden June Cleaver story. Not anymore. Not anymore. Well, we're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. We hope you'll stay with us. We've got a good second hour coming up. We're going to talk about conspiracy theories in the second hour. Oh, you knew I would. You knew I would. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. And we're going to be back right after the news. So don't you dare go anywhere.
This is the Quality News Network. In Baghdad, Iraqi state television has reported 19 people, 18 of them children, were killed when a car bomb detonated near a soccer field. All of the children were boys playing on a field near an American military base. In Afghanistan, 20 people were killed and 27 wounded when a Taliban suicide bomber targeting the vice president blew himself up. Dick Cheney, who was visiting the Bagram Air Force Base, wasn't hurt, but among the casualties, a U.S. and South Korean soldier, as well as an American contractor. Negotiations between North and South Korea resumed today in Seoul for the first time since Pyongyang tested nuclear weaponry last October. South Korea's aim is to convince the North Koreans reform and openness will lead to guaranteed security and profits. The Iraq Study Group will meet next month. As suggested, representatives from the UK, the US, Syria, Iran, and Iraq will meet to discuss the stabilization of Iraq. The country's foreign minister says he hopes bringing peace to Iraq will help to unite the countries from the West and the Middle East. In Baghdad, U.S. and Iraqi forces conducted pre-dawn raids in Sadr City today, arresting 12 suspected insurgents. Throughout Iraq, bombs have killed 13 people and wounded 24. Iran still refuses to halt its uranium enrichment program as demanded by the West. Tehran remained obstinate even as UN Security Council members met in London yesterday, drawing up increased sanctions against Iran. All Security Council members say they are committed to a peaceful resolution to the standoff. In New Jersey, lawmakers are debating legislation exempting soldiers on overseas assignments from paying state income tax. Currently, 24 states tax such pay, but all combat soldiers are already exempt from federal taxes. In Washington, the fifth day of jury deliberations continued today with one less juror. Yesterday, the judge removed a female juror because she was exposed to information outside of court. Former White House aide Louis Scutalibbe faces 30 years in prison if convicted of perjury and obstruction. Federal authorities are investigating how the Small Business Administration distributed $5 billion in disaster loans to survivors of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. The SBA is accused of failing to follow its own anti-fraud procedures in an attempt to avoid criticism for reacting too slowly to help victims. In North Dakota, legislatures are considering dropping its law barring unmarried people from living together. Currently, cohabitation is considered a sex crime in the same category as rape, incest, and adultery. Six other states have similar laws on the books.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
A Stanford University study reveals garlic does not lower cholesterol, a claim often touted by producers of natural supplements. More extensive studies are being done to determine if garlic offers other types of health benefits. The three most popular painkillers in America have been shown to raise blood pressure and increase incidence of heart disease in men. U.S. researchers say aspirin, ibuprofen, and acetaminophen are the culprits. Governors from five western states are teaming up to reduce greenhouse gases. The states involved include Arizona, California, New Mexico, Oregon, and Washington. In New York, a federal judge has turned down the city's request to put a cap on the damages it may be forced to pay in the wake of last year's Staten Island ferry crash. 11 people were killed in the accident, a dozen more injured. Apple Inc. is going to delay the launch of its computer-to-TV device. An Apple spokeswoman said Apple TV, which is designed to move content from a user's computer to a television set, will be released in mid-March. No reasons were given for the postponed launch date. Volkswagen is recalling nearly 800,000 cars because of defective brake lights. The models involved are the Golf, Jetta, the new Beetle, R32, and the GTI. And on Wall Street right now, the Dow Jones is down 206 points. The NASDAQ is down 65 points, and the S&P 500 is down 27 points. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.01 a barrel right now on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And there's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Jay Gallet.
show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
And I thank you for staying with us over the news. Glad to have each and every one of you back. Hope you got a cold drink, maybe a little snack, whatever it is you do. Well, no, it's about dinner time for a lot of people, so hope you didn't have the snack. I mean, we don't want to encourage obesity on the program after all. Oh man, did you hear the news? I'm very busy during the news usually here in the studio, but I happened to catch that they're saying now that three causes of heart disease are aspirin, acetaminophen, and ibuprofen. my cardiologist insists that I take an aspirin every morning, along with the regular prescription. And now we find out, and, you have an ache or a pain, and the doc always says, yeah, pop a couple of ibuprofen. That's a good. And now they're saying it contributes to heart disease in men? Oh, you just can't win this thing, can you? Oh, my. It reminds me of that old movie, Woody Allen. I cannot think of the name of it. I'm so bad with names of movies. But Woody Allen's sitting in this house, and he's eating something. And he said, it's a futuristic show. Maybe some of you know what the name of it. I certainly don't. But Woody says something about, they found out that way back in the future, he said, can you believe, and I'm paraphrasing, can you believe way back in the future, they actually thought bran was, roughies was good for you? And I don't know. Anyway, I killed that, didn't I? Anyway, that's, yes, aspirin. We're supposed to take, keep taking aspirin. Well, I'll listen to my doctor. Can't take what they, you can't believe what you hear on that radio after all. No, you can't believe that. If you'd like to join the program, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. Love to have you join us on the program today. We most certainly would. Where are we going to go with this? Oh, well, I'll reopen the can of worms that I opened last week and I had to end it before the show was over with. So, lest anybody think that I'm not determined to get my point across, here we go again. And many of you heard the program, some of you didn't. We were talking about conspiracy theories last Thursday afternoon, and the program got a little bit heated in the last half hour because someone called in and mentioned that Dick Cheney was involved in 9/11 as though it were a fact. A known fact that he was, and just as I expected, it didn't take long for the conspiracy theories to start before the smoldering ruins of the Twin Towers had even cooled off, and they had started by then. And that's okay. It's natural and normal for people to be skeptical and suspicious. I'm skeptical and suspicious myself, and I've got no quarrel with that. But some people get involved in conspiracy theories so that they can write books and make CDs to sell, and some people get involved because their natural curiosity hasn't been satisfied, and a lot of people become immersed in the conspiracy theories because they've got a genuine belief that maybe similar events might happen again in the future, and some sort of a thorough investigation might prevent a reoccurrence. I know this from the email I got after last Thursday's program, and it was a ton of it. I'm glad it wasn't snail mail, or I'd had to have a bushel basket to hold it all. I have found that most of the people who believe in the 9/11 conspiracy, that Dick Cheney was involved in it and all that, believe in almost all of the other conspiracy theories floating around out there. And perhaps I come at this from a different direction. A lot of people are anxious, and it would seem to me even driven, to find a way to blame the United States for facilitating the whole thing. I mean 9/11. Either by abetting or even orchestrating the entire event. And I spent the entire weekend looking at this subject, and instead of believing my government is automatically guilty of such actions, I choose to believe that they are not involved and wait and see if someone can bring irrefutable proof to my doorstep that my government is in fact guilty. And it would seem to me that all of those who automatically charge the government with being guilty are being unfair because, well, they're charging that they're guilty until proven innocent. And this is the exact opposite of the American way. You and I are presumed innocent until found guilty in a court of law, and there's no rational explanation whatsoever for expecting our government to suffer any different treatment than that. And I've not been surprised that over 800,000 web pages I found in my research over the weekend have been born since 9/11. 800,000 web pages born since 9/11, blaming that horrible event on almost everyone except Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Some of them are so laughable as to remind you of the famous routine by Abbott and Costello, who's on first. One of them that was sent to me the other day was written by a minister who was finding fault with a group of esteemed engineers and architects that investigated the 9/11 tragedy, but he was a minister. He even claimed that the so-called demolition, and I had to laugh at this one, laughed out loud at this one, he claimed that the so-called demolition was so expertly done that the heavy steel beams in the towers were blown up in 30-foot sections so that they could be easily loaded onto trucks. Now, the people that did this were just that doggone fastidious and careful and miserly so that they wouldn't have any trouble loading them onto the trucks. Now, I'm not an engineer, far from it, but some of the sites I read were just absolutely laughable. But they all have one thing in common, and that they're all written to appeal to those who are looking to convict the government of conspiracy to commit these atrocities. And like I said, I'm looking first that my government is innocent, and then have someone prove to me that's not the case. And I'll not argue. Far be it from me to argue that there aren't any mysteries surrounding many of the events of the disasters that happened in Washington, D.C., and New York, and Pennsylvania on that day. A lot of mysteries. Some things may probably never be fully explained. But this idea of taking every little thing that can't be fully explained and turning it into some kind of a make-believe smoking gun is absolutely ludicrous. And for example, one of the things I looked at very, very closely. In one case, they took their recorded radio calls from firemen and police and found a lot of mistakes in them, which says that proves that the buildings were brought down by demolition teams. Anyone listening right now, sharp enough or brave enough to respond to a disaster like that, total panic and confusion, If you could respond to a disaster like that and not make some mistakes when reporting what happened later on, anyone think they're stoic enough to have been at the base of those towers with a radio in hand and everything you reported back to be absolutely correct in that horrible, very terrifying, very fluid situation? Of course not. That's not even reasonable. And yet some of these conspiracy theorists sift through every word spoken that day and try to make issues where there really are none. I read such things over and over and over again this past weekend on some of these sites. From everything I've had time to examine, it looks like there are some unresolved issues that might trigger some major curiosity. I have some major curiosity, but curiosity isn't enough to allow someone, anyone, to manufacture facts. And it seems to me that the vast majority of those who own these conspiracy sites ignore all of the facts. And this is one of the traits of people who come up with conspiracy theories. They ignore all the facts except for those few stray details they think support their theories. And these theorists, as conspiracy theorists, they don't even agree with one another, these Perry Mason geniuses. Some claim the planes weren't commercial jets at all, but they were military aircraft. You've seen these white jets. Some say they were remote-controlled drones. Some say they were cruise missiles. Others say the buildings were actually professionally demolished and that our air defenses were actually shut down by people ranging anywhere from Dick Cheney to the Easter Bunny. And some of them claim the mainstream media was in on the whole thing and helped to spread the government lies. And when it benefits their argument, they quote the mainstream media. And in an interview with conspiracy-oriented talk show host Alex Jones, actor Charlie Sheen embraced a variety of popular conspiracy theories. Now, I'm going to listen to what Charlie Sheen has to say about what actually happened on 9/11. I'd sooner believe Wile E. Coyote. What the hell reason would I have to believe what Charlie Sheen had to say? You know, everybody's entitled to his own opinion, and I think it was I can never remember this great guy's name. Patrick Moynihan of New York, Senator Moynihan, he was fond of saying, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. You're not entitled to your own facts. And sooner or later, even the wildest 9/11 theories rely on factual claims, and facts can be checked. And in all the reading I did over the weekend over this, I found a great article in an investigation, well-known investigation, done by the folks at Popular Mechanics Magazine. They have access to many engineers. And they became involved in investigating the 9/11 conspiracy theories in the fall of 2004 after an advertisement ran in the New York Times for the book Painful Questions by Eric Hufschmidt, demanding that the 9/11 investigation be reopened. And Hufschmidt's book included a number of tangible claims regarding 9/11. It states, for example, that because jet fuel does not burn hot enough to melt steel, the fires in the World Trade Center towers could not have caused their collapse. The only thing is, it claims ample evidence exists to show that demolition-style explosives were pre-positioned in the building. Yes, sir. People went in there with explosives. 50,000 people working in those buildings, and nobody knew that. Everybody knew it. Nobody knew it. They walked in there at night or whenever and put those explosives in there. And as editors of a magazine devoted to science and technology, the folks at Popular Mechanics saw that those claims, you know, they saw the claims as significant. Was there hard evidence to support them? And if so, what would be the implications for our understanding of 9/11? At the very least, says the Popular Mechanics folks, we thought someone should look into these allegations. If there were even a hint of truth to these or similar claims, then the conspiracy theorist had a point. There should be a deeper investigation. So the magazine assembled a team of reporters and researchers and very methodically began to analyze the most common factual claims made by the conspiracy theorists, assertions that they're at the root of the majority of 9/11 alternative scenarios. They interviewed scores of engineers, aviation experts, military officials, eyewitnesses, and members of the investigative teams, more than 300 sources in all. They pored over the photographs, the maps, the blueprints, the aviation logs, and the transcripts. The result of their research appeared in the March 2005 issue of Popular Mechanics. The cover story was 9/11 debunking the myths. It provoked a very strong reaction on the internet and in the mainstream media, and the online version of the article remains the most frequently read story on popularmechanics.com, and it's been printed out more than 850,000 times. 850,000 times it's been printed out. They said, in the months after we published the investigation, many readers, both critics and supporters, wrote to suggest other evidence they thought we had overlooked or to raise new claims they believed worthy of investigation. At the same time, many of the inaccurate claims the magazine investigated continued to appear uncorrected in popular settings such as Wikipedia, the open source online encyclopedia, and they singled out Loose Change, the 9/11 conspiracy documentary that's become a sensation on college campuses. They said, we decided to extend our original investigation and publish a book-length version of our findings. We expanded our team of reporters, re-interviewed experts and sources from our first investigation, and as much as possible addressed the additional questions raised by both critics and supporters. The goal of this book is not to tell the complete story of what happened on September 11, 2001. There are numerous excellent sources, including the 9/11 Commission report and the New York Times and other newspapers, that chronicle the attacks in painful detail. Instead, this book aims only to answer the questions raised by conspiracy theorists themselves. Strip away the political theorizing and logical leaps, and every conspiracy theory ultimately comes down to a small set of claims based on evidence that can be examined. These claims are the only points where the theorists elaborate conjectures make contact with the real world. Without these foundations, the theories crumble. In every case we examined, the key claims made by conspiracy theorists turned out to be mistaken, misinterpreted, or deliberately falsified. We understand, say the folks at Popular Science, Popular Mechanics, we understand that not all conspiracy theorists agree with all conspiracy theories. Some prominent theorists even claim that certain theories they deem less plausible have been planted in order to make the entire movement look ridiculous. We don't take sides in these debates. We simply check the facts. The work of comprehending the events of 9/11 is not finished. It is vital to understand exactly what went wrong that day and to make sure it does not happen again. There were lapses and shortcomings on the part of the government agencies in the months and years leading up to 9/11, and every American wishes our government had been more alert and better prepared. And every American is entitled to ask hard questions, but there is a world of difference between believing that our government should have known what was coming and claiming that someone did know and deliberately did nothing, or even worse, actively perpetrated attacks on its own citizens. By deliberately blurring that line, conspiracy theorists exploit and misdirect the public's legitimate anger over the events of that day. Some argue that alternative 9/11 scenarios are valuable in that they promote skepticism of a government that has not always been as open as many would like. But a climate of poisonous suspicion will not help America adjust to the post-9/11 world, and the search for truth is not aided by the dissemination of falsehoods. That comes from David Dunbar and Brad Reagan, who helped head up that whole thing, and I completely agree with them. I'm always open to process new factual information, but I'm very discerning when it comes to taking anything in as fact. And if you've listened to me for any period of time, you most certainly know that. I believe these conspiracy theories are a distraction from what should be the proper lessons from 9/11. And I believe that concentrating on misleading and patently false information is detrimental to the overall well-being of this country. And it's important that we openly confront these people with actual facts. It's certainly been proven to my satisfaction that their theories are not much more than distortions, secondhand misconceptions, and in many cases, outright lies. And as much as many would like to believe it, the CIA was not involved in 9/11. Our military did not bring about the destruction of the World Trade Center. Bombs or missiles did not fell those towers, and white jet aircraft did not shoot down Flight 93. So, after that show last Thursday, I felt I ought to, take a good look at a lot of this stuff, and I have. And I've had somebody bring up to me the question, this loose change CD that actually mentioned that some of the hijackers are alive and well and living in this country. If they are, where are they? You don't think a mountain of press people in this country couldn't find them? Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Susan from Columbia City.
Hi.
I don't know what happened on 9/11. I wasn't there. And, so there's no way I can know. The only thing that I find really criminal was the way the Bush administration blew off the 9/11 recommendations. That had to wait until the 110th Congress to come in before they were implemented. And we really need to ride Congress to make sure that they are completely implemented for our own safety.
Yeah, that's right. It was the height of incompetence. There's many things that should be done to prevent that from happening again, and obviously not nearly enough has been done to keep it from happening again. I don't think we're any safer today than we were then, maybe a tiny, tiny bit. But
No, I consider, if anything, I consider that an impeachable offense.
Yeah, I do as well, the way they blew it off, and they most certainly did. They just weren't serious about anything on it. And I hold them responsible for it. I most certainly do.
Yeah. Anyway, you have a nice afternoon.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I see somebody on the chat room is not happy with what I have to say. Guy, your whole argument today is that you want to believe the government without expecting the government to prove its conspiracy theory. I don't know what that means. I don't take the government on face value for anything, and I'm not taking the government's official explanation for this. I'm taking the explanation of a lot of folks who did a lot of hard work and investigative work on this. Scientists, engineers, architects, a lot of people that know these things. And there were so many of these conspiracy things I read over the weekend. It would make a good read for a big comic book. Some of them are so absolutely unhinged and crazy. I mean, just crazy. The one about blowing it up in 30-foot sections so you could haul it off easily in trucks, and I thought that one was especially good. Where are we at here? It's coming up on the bottom of the hour. We're going to pause for a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Are you a conservative Republican who believes George W. Bush did the right thing by invading Iraq? Are you in agreement with Mr. Bush when he says, we need to stay the course no matter how long it takes? Do you agree with the president when he says that he will never set any time schedule to pull out our troops? Well, if you agree with all that, then you'll certainly want to help out Mr. Bush by signing up your kids or grandkids for military service today. Yes, just call your local Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marine recruiter and tell them the age and Social Security number of your little Johnny or Susie and make an appointment for a free visit by your local military recruiter. We know that by supporting the President's War, you are a super patriot, and you'll want to be the first on your block to offer up your kids for Mr. Bush's War. Don't worry if you think they're too young. Even if they're only 10 or 11 years old, this war will certainly last long enough for them to get involved. And for the first 15 callers, we're offering absolutely free a CD of the President uttering those famous fighting words, "Bring 'em on." Yes, this CD will have special meaning to you, especially if your kid is wounded or killed in Iraq. So call now and get your child or grandchild registered today. Just call 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID. That's 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID.
I was recently in Europe, and despite all we've done for them and to them, they don't like us very much. They don't respect us at all. And I want to reply to their scorn in a song, which is the following. I'd like to say a few words in defense of our country, whose people aren't bad, nor are they mean. Now the leaders we have, while they're the worst that we've had, are hardly the worst this poor world has seen. Let's turn history's pages, shall we? Take the Caesars, for example. While the first few of them, they were sleeping with their sister, stashing little boys in swimming pools and burning down the city. One of them appointed his own horse to be consul of the empire. That's like vice president or something. That's not a very good example right now, is it? But here's one. Spanish Inquisition. That's a good one. Put people in a terrible position. I don't even like to think about it. Well, sometimes I like to think about it. Just a few words. Defense of our country. It's time at the top could be coming to an end. But we don't want their love. Respect at this point's pretty much out of the question, but time like these, we sure could use a friend. Hitler, Stalin, men who need no introduction. King Leopold of Belgium, that's right. Everyone thinks he's so great. Well, he owned the Congo. He tore it up, too. Took the diamonds, took the silver, took the gold. You know what he left him with? Malaria. You know, a president once said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Now it seems like we're supposed to be afraid. It's patriotic, in fact, color-coded. What we're supposed to be afraid of? Why being afraid? That's what terror means, doesn't it? That's what it used to mean. You know, it pisses me off a little that this Supreme Court's gonna outlive me. A couple young Italian fellas and a brother on the court now, too. But I defy you, anywhere in the world, to find me two Italians as tight ass as the two Italians we got. And as for the brother, well, Pluto's not a planet anymore either. The end of an empire is messy at best. And this empire's ending, like all the rest, like the Spanish Armada. Drift on the sea. We're drifting the land of the brave and the home of the free. Goodbye. 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 Goodbye.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days, so surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
You're listening to the Guy James Show. I'm Guy James, and you're not, and I welcome you to the show, bringing you the other opinions. As we always say, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth, and we're here to explain that to you and to prove it each and every day. Thank you for being with us here on the Guy James Show this afternoon. I appreciate the listenership of each and every one of you. I most certainly do. Where are we at? About 25 minutes before the hour, you have time to call the program, 866-546-5254. To continue on this conspiracy thing, I saw this, website, where's it at here? Where's it? I got the site written down here someplace. Damn it, I can't find it. And it was a big site with tons of photos on it, and guess what? They had found a picture of a helicopter flying around Washington, D.C. that they think was there to guide the guided missile into the Pentagon, or the plane, or the white plane, whatever it was, like a plane would need to be guided in, you know. And I shouldn't laugh because it's a serious situation, but they chronicled this picture of a helicopter in about a dozen different photos on this site. My God, there was a helicopter flying around Washington, D.C. on 9/11. Anybody been in Washington, D.C. and seen how many helicopters are in the sky over Washington, D.C. at any one time? the picture of it was just absolutely ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. Let's face it. If you do your homework, if you check out bona fide, certified, actual experts, engineers, and scientists, and so forth, that have done a thorough investigation of the 9/11 situation, what they can resolve anyway with the buildings and everything, and what they know, you will find that not a single conspiracy theorist has a leg to stand on. Even talked to a couple of military experts that told me for Dick Cheney to have grounded those airplanes would involve a chain of command with about 90 people in it, at least 90. And do you think 90 people would keep their mouth shut? It's just a joke. And as much as people would like to believe Dick Cheney would do something like that, and you know you've heard me make the statement Dick Cheney would do anything. Yeah, I do believe he would do anything. Could he get away with it? No. So, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. We've looked over this whole thing about Building 7 and all that. There's just no credible stories anywhere. It's just simply the conspiracy theories are not credible. That's not to say they're not interesting. Oh my, there's some interesting stuff out there. But being interesting and being true, somewhere, sometimes miles apart. 866-546-5254. That's 866-546-5254. I'd love to have you join us on the program today. Where were we here this afternoon? I had a couple of things that... did you see Laura Bush? Did we Did we see Laura Bush talking about how the one bombing a day is what discourages everybody? Man, she's detached from reality, is she not? Just absolutely detached from reality. She does have that Stepford wife look in her, you know, there was a time I wouldn't say that, but she's made too many public statements with that odd stare, and some completely ridiculous statements like this one she made the other day. Just totally absurd. I couldn't believe what a dumb statement that was. So, you know, you got the war going on, but everybody just believes that one bombing every day. Wonder if she heard about the one about the 18 kids getting killed on the playground today. And that wasn't the only bombing that took place today. But what about that, Laura? Suicide bomber killed 19 people and wounded 11 outside the main U.S. military base in Afghanistan on Tuesday. During a visit by Vice President Cheney. What about that one, Laura? She says, but of course, what we see on television is the one bombing a day that discourages everybody. The one bombing a day. And you know, there are people that believe this. People that actually believe this. You hear it all the time. I hear it many, many times. People write me these dirty emails and stuff. Do you, liberal media. We're winning this war. But that liberal media is trying to convince you that we are not. They're conspiring. And I never quite understand, where does that all go? Where does that whole argument finally go? You know, my argument is that everything in the Republican Party are these neocons anyway, this present-day cabal that has control of our government. That all funnels down to money. That all funnels down to complete control of our government. That all funnels down to trying to change the Constitution and everything else we hold dear in this country to benefit but a handful of people. That's where that all funnels down to. Where does this liberal media that they allege, and where does this all funnel down to? To what end is this so-called liberal media doing this, as they say they are? To what end? Does anybody want to tell me? Where does it all end? So that they can what? What would it be? They can what? Finish the sentence for me. It's just so damn... It just gets to be so ridiculous sometimes. I find myself doing show prep and reading some of these comments by some of these people, and I go, oh, man. Just today, I heard it a couple of times this morning while reading articles on some of these right-wing sites talking about liberal media. Liberal media, liberal media, liberal media. I get so tired of hearing about the liberal media. Do they ever mention the fact that that the liberal Fox News channel has more viewers than CNN? Do they mention that? Do they mention that the Sunday PBS pundit show, The McLaughlin Group, is named and orchestrated by that liberal, John McLaughlin? Do they ever mention that the second largest media organization in America is owned and controlled by that liberal Rupert Murdoch? More of that liberal media. Mentioned that the most listened to talk radio show in America is from that liberal Rush Limbaugh. Do they ever mention that the most listened to political commentary on radio in America for the past 50 years has been that liberal, well-known liberal, Paul Harvey? To mention that the daily newspaper with the highest circulation other than USA is the liberal Wall Street Journal, the very liberal Wall Street Journal. Do they mention that the Newsweek's back page editorial 3 out of 4 times is from that well-known liberal George Will? Do they mention that CBS and ABC and NBC and their owners Disney, Westinghouse, and Electric, General Electric are all liberal corporations? And do they mention that over, and you know, one of their favorite arguments is, yeah, but what about the newspapers? Did they mention that over 90% of the daily newspapers over the past 16 years endorsed such liberals as Reagan, Bush, Dole, and Bush for president? You can't even turn on a radio on the AM dial without hearing the liberals like Rush Limbaugh and Liddy and Ken Hamlin and Michael Reagan and Armstrong Williams and Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and Laura Schlesinger and Mark Levin and who else? A bucket full of others. You know, just mention that to your friends that like to toss about that wonderful phrase, liberal media. Liberal media. Do you have any conservative friends? Do you have any friends that you regularly socialize with that are true conservative Republicans or neocons? Do you have any friends right now that you run around with or you talk to on a daily basis, people you're friendly with who are still backing George W. Bush in everything that he does? Do you know any people like that right now? I really don't. I don't associate myself with people like that. I have some Republican friends. We have honest, open debates about the ideology of Republicans and Democrats, but even my Republican friends are people that look at these neocons and they look down their noses at these neocons and say they're ruining the Republican Party, that they have ruined the Republican Party, that there's nothing left of the actual Republican Party. Yes, even Republicans are tuning out from these crazy neocons that have been running the government here as of late. And I think we have all the proof we need. People like Douglas Feith and people like that, that all the proof that that we need that when I use the word crazy, I'm not kidding around. Hey, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us. I do want to mention that the music on the show, courtesy of Billy Shears, our music director.
As I rode in the Tombstone on my horse, his name's Mac, I saw what I'll relate to you going on behind my back. It seems the folks were up in arms, a man now had to die for believing things that didn't fit the laws they'd set aside. The man's name was I'm a Freak, the best that I could see. He was the executioner, a hangman just like me. I guess that he'd seen loopholes from working with his rope. He'd hung the wrong man many times, so now he'd turned to hope. He'd talked to all the people from his scaffold in the square. He told them of the things he found, but they didn't seem to care. He said the laws were obsolete, a change they should demand. But the people only walked away, he couldn't understand. The marshal's name was Uncle Sam, he said he'd right this wrong. He'd make the hangman shut his mouth if it took him all too long. He finally arrested Freak, and then he sent for me to hang a fellow hangman from a fellow hangman's tree. It didn't take them long to try him in their court of law. He was guilty in a thinking a crime much worse than all. They sentenced him to die so his seed of thought can't spread and infect the little children. That's what the law had said. So the hanging day came round and he walked up to the noose. I pulled the lever, but before he fell, I cut him loose. They called it all conspiracy and that I had to die. So to close our mouths and kill our minds, they hung us side by side.
Welcome back to the program. We've got about 10 minutes left. If you'd like to call the Guy James Show, 866-546-5254. And all you right-wingers that are listening, you know the ones among you that send the nasty emails, take a chance. Give me a call. I'll treat you nice. As long as you treat me nice. But I want to warn you. Your arguments will be destroyed rather quickly. I think you know that. I think that's why you don't call. Oh, I wish you would. I'm not much of a movie buff, but I do remember one from many, many years ago where a certain cowboy stood there, and or, I don't know if a cowboy or a cop stood there and said, go ahead, make my day. Yeah, call me, you right-wingers. Love to hear from you. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Let's take a call right now over in line number two. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, greetings from La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Hey, hi in Wisconsin. Love Wisconsin.
And you just played a recording, I think, that I might have sent Billy Shears.
Oh, really?
The Two Hangmen?
Let me check on that here. That was...
The Mason Prophet tune, yeah.
Mason Prophet, yeah, Come and Gone, The Two Hangmen. Yes, that's the name of that. I like that.
Yeah. And so you were going down the list of liberal media myths a little while ago.
Yeah.
I got one to add for you.
What's that?
Wisconsin Public Radio, in the last 6 months, roughly 6 months, maybe a little more, they have dumped three different talk programs, one being Harry Shearer's program, the national show out of KCRW in Santa Monica, one being Dave Berkman's media program on Fridays, and one being Duke Skorich's program from the affiliate up in Superior, all allegedly because...
This has got to be good. I can't wait to hear this.
All allegedly because of their liberal political content.
I see.
And in the case of what Shearer was nailed for, the content was mainly as a result of the problems relating to Katrina. And, of course, Shearer... had a home, he shuttled more or less between Los Angeles and New Orleans. Half of the time, his show was produced in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And he brought up the problems and the inactivity in rebuilding as a more or less as a result of his having lived in the city.
And that's a liberal viewpoint?
And that's what he was nailed on for Wisconsin Public Radio, and in his case, what Wisconsin Public Radio replaced him with was one additional hour. They were already broadcasting about 4 or 5 hours a night of BBC World Service on Sunday night. Now they have 6 hours.
Oh, great. Oh, my God. Is that right? I mean, hell, I mean, poor old Trent Lott can't even get the insurance company to pay him off, and they accuse somebody else of being a flaming liberal for even talking about it? Whoa.
That's... Yeah, and so they wind up dropping an American voice in order to put on a British.
Well, we need more of that British TV. It's so lively and... man, oh man.
Well, it is once they put John Cleese in front of the camera.
Yeah.
You know? Then it's lively.
That's right. Oh man, yeah. I'm afraid I'm one of those that have never done very well at getting British humor. Cleese, yeah. Mr. Bean, I thought some of that stuff was a little bit funny. Who else? But not a whole lot of it's been very funny to me. They have a quite different sense of humor over in Great Britain, that's for sure.
And so, well, you know, be that as it may.
Well, I hate to hear that about PBS in Wisconsin.
Well, NPR, actually.
NPR, actually.
It was the radio end of things, not the TV.
Wow.
But, you know, the TV is, of course, a whole other ball of wax.
Bill Moyers was a precursor to the whole thing when they said, you know, when Colin Powell's son was still running. I can't think of the guy's head, the FCC now. But they will have their way with NPR and PBS before it's over if we don't... stop them, and we have not made any significant efforts at stopping them. I don't know what we could do. Of course, we need a new president, and we appoint somebody else to that position, and maybe we can arrest the development of the right wing taking over public radio and TV as well.
Yeah, and I also remember when they got forced Moyers out the door. What did they replace him with? Tucker Carlson.
Yeah. That's a fair trade. Isn't that a fair trade? Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. Did Moyers ever wear a bow tie? Maybe that was the deal.
I don't think. I could be wrong, but I don't think he did. I'm not going to accuse Bill of that anyway. I see even Bow Tie Boy has given up his bow tie. He's wearing a regular tie now.
Yeah, he's pretty much killed off the bow tie. You know, when I was growing up, it used to be that guys wearing bow ties, regularly wearing bow ties, were kind of cool. You know,
yeah.
Henry Morgan.
Oh my God, Henry Morgan. Him? Yeah, and what was his name from Illinois? Simon Richards. Paul Simon.
Paul Simon.
Yes, he always had the bow tie, and yeah, you're right. You're right.
And
Henry Morgan. I hadn't thought of that name in 30 years.
You know, the guy that always used to rib his sponsors, and he wound up losing a lot of them as a result. There was one time when he was sponsored by the old Lifesaver, candy company.
Did Gary Moore wear a bow tie? I'm thinking he did.
In fact, he did as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we're dating ourselves here, aren't we?
Yeah. They did it on the same show. Because Moore was host of I've Got a Secret, and Henry Morgan was one of the panelists.
There are youngsters listening to the you and I talk right now that think we're from a different planet, and they wouldn't know who Ted Mack was either.
Or Major Bowes.
Or Major Bowes. Yeah. Yes.
You know. But the thing I always loved about Morgan, you know, he accused the Lifesavers company of cheating the public by drilling a hole in their product.
He was a piece of work. I love that guy. He had that impish grin on his face when he thought he made a point. Thank you for bringing that up. I'm smiling. I hadn't thought about Henry Morgan for many years, and I enjoyed him when I was. I shall say much younger than I am now.
Okay. It looks like you're running out, so I'll...
Yes, we are.
I'll let you wrap things up. And
hey, thanks for calling. Good to hear from people, good folks in La Crosse.
No problem.
Yeah, bye now.
Bye.
Beautiful place, La Crosse, Wisconsin. I love Wisconsin. You've heard me say that many times. I used to go there for when the Ohio State Buckeyes played up in Madison. Always enjoyed that trip in the fall to go to Wisconsin, a beautiful place. And I got some friends up there, too, who live near the Dells and... just a nice place. Nice place. I love Wisconsin. I guess I've said that enough times, right? Hey, I've really enjoyed this program today. I really have. I guess once in a while we do a show that you really enjoy. And once in a while I do a show that I really enjoy. But today's one of those days. I don't know whether it's the mood or this show content or what. I've just had a very good time today, and I owe that all to you. And I thank you for being with us today here on the Guy James Show. We try and mix it up a little bit, get some serious political discussion in today. I really enjoyed having Bill Press on. Bill's one of those guys that you could sit in your living room and talk to for hours and hours and hours and never get tired of talking to him, I guarantee you. So check out his show. He's on in the morning. That's about all we have today. I guess some would say that's quite enough, huh? And I do appreciate you being with us here on the show today, and hope we get everything back to normal here on the Head On Radio Network as soon as possible. And thanks for listening. You're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. And as always, I want to remind you, you heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.